peace still out of reach in Hong Kong.
Singaporeans break bad, or at least dumb.
Lizard scares Malaysian man into bed with two women.
Thailand's surprisingly cool about a heroin trafficker on its cabinet.
And I learned what it means to have a disability with three people fighting to make Thailand accessible to all.
Welcome to the Coconuts Podcast, our look at the latest and greatest reporting from our eight newsrooms in Southeast Asia and Hong Kong. I'm Todd Rees, and I'm the managing editor of Coconuts Bangkok.
And I'm associate editor Tara Kamaltanavith.
Hey, happy September, Tara.
Ooh, wake me up when September ends. Ooh, that was bad.
I don't get that. What is that?
It's Green Day.
What are you doing?
Green Day, which is coming to Asia, by the way, y'all. Am I the only one who's excited?
Well, I'm all for punk, but not your 90s pop punk.
No, I love 90s. I'd say they're rock punk. Our audio engineer is giving me a thumbs down and saying they're definitely pop punk, but...
Well, since last time we talked, a lot's been going on.
As always.
And, you know, we'll try to make sense. It's like, through all these stories that get told, in all these countries, in all these different cultures... You know, you sort of look for the pattern in the noise. You're like, what is the theme of this week? Last week it was what?
It was frustration with authority. It was pushing back against the government.
Yeah, and the battle to control the narrative, disinfo, misinformation, and who gets to tell the story of what's going on in the world.
Right.
I was thinking back on this week, and there's been a lot of outrage.
As always.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that's new, but, you know, it got me thinking that, for one, you know, Coconuts is in a lot of different countries, and we're in Southeast Asia, which is not a huge area. We're all, like, close neighbors.
Right.
But we're talking very different cultures, very different norms, very different...
Religions.
Notions of what's acceptable or not.
Right.
And the global cultural tone of outrage has made things that in the past were not a big deal.
Right.
Suddenly it's so easy to trigger everyone.
Right.
Everyone's hashtag triggered over something that really wouldn't have been a big deal. Happened all the time.
Right. And at the same time, I think it's also like an awareness of more individual rights. Because it's interesting. I was talking to my mom about my disability segment, which we will go into. And I was like, oh, isn't it crazy how like these rules and these policies haven't been implemented yet, even though they have in places like America or Europe for so long. And my mom was like, well, you know, we're aware of it. And I was just like, you were just aware of it, you know, but not the people who need it. So I think it's also individuals of marginalized groups are now able to demand rights that they haven't had prior to this.
That the technology has... enabled information to become instantly available in so many places. I was talking to, you know, I had that meeting with the vegans a couple days ago. And one of the questions I had for them was about the perception that, you know, that this is a foreign thing, this is a Western agenda being pushed, and Thailand just happily is eating his meat, and can you do so? And they were Thai. And you know, they kind of bristled at that. I mean, they're just like, no, just because it started in the West doesn't mean that they own that.
Right.
And it doesn't mean that if people have any awareness and higher and better understanding of what the reality is with animal conditions and slaughter,
yeah,
that they're not going to care about it in exactly the same way here.
Right. That's interesting though, because I feel like I've never really met Thai or Asian vegans. Like even that. In it, like that tidbit.
But it gets at how sensitivities may exist,
completely,
but with the introduction of information,
right.
Can become arise from the level of being something that you're aware of to something that you care about and that
right.
Want to take action about and want to change.
Yeah.
Like people with disabilities, like the conditions of our non-human neighbors, like a guy who just wants to have a threesome because he's afraid of a lizard.
Right. I'm not quite sure about the lizard thing.
No. Okay. Well, I think that's our cue to talk about what's
Sounds
going
good.
On.
Sounds good. And you're going to start us off with Bangkok today, right, Todd?
I am. When Thammanat Prompao, a member of the pro-establishment Palang Pracharat party, was elevated to the new Thai cabinet in July, it came with a footnote that he had been convicted of something in some other country. He told reporters it was a small matter, and he was, wait for it, just in the wrong place at the wrong time. So, the other shoe fell Monday when the Sydney Morning Herald gave truth to that apparent lie. Australian court records indicated that wrong place was in fact a Sydney hotel, where 26 years ago he was trying to move a, quote, substantial quantity of heroin. While the embattled minister keeps changing his story, most recently saying he was in some kind of Aussie witness protection program those 4 years, some of the court records were made public Thursday, and though they identify Tamanat by another name, Manat, the other Thai man arrested with him all those years ago says it was him, and Tamanat doesn't deny it. None of this has seemed to erode his support at the highest levels, with Prime Minister Prayut Chan-o-cha saying that it was not even one bite of a nothing burger, and reporters should stop asking about it. On a related note, this is where I should insert one of those disclaimers. Certain aspects of this story could not be reported due to Thailand's strict royal defamation laws.
Two Singaporeans were arrested this week after police raided a makeshift marijuana lab, and I do mean makeshift, in their public housing flat. The suspects, a 44-year-old man and a 52-year-old woman, were arrested after the raid turned up drug paraphernalia and two pots of marijuana plants. Best of all, their walls were plastered with instructions of how to grow weed. Is it just me, or is that kind of adorable slash hilarious? Vice cops were tipped off after glass apparatuses, like bongs probably, were discovered in packages. So, pro tip for future Singaporean drug kingpins, maybe don't use the mail system to equip your drug lab. If found guilty, each could face up to 20 years in prison and a fine of about $30,000.
The Philippines' prison chief is out, and 20 other heads have rolled as fallout from a botched early release program continues. Murderers, rapists, and some famously bad, bad dudes were released under a 5-year-old good conduct program late last month. And apparently, it wasn't due to any real problem with the program, which said no one guilty of heinous crimes would be eligible, but rather just naked incompetence. You know, that kind of incompetence that happens when elected officials hand all the jobs to their friends and cronies. But I digress. 27 Bureau of Correction officials were suspended 6 months without pay for their involvement this week and will be charged with grave misconduct, dereliction of duty, and other charges. Meanwhile, the authorities are still figuring out how to re-arrest about 2,000 former inmates they now say were improperly released. Allegations have emerged that some officials extorted money to secure the release of some convicts. It all started when the public got wind that notorious former Calawan Mayor Antonio Sanchez was about to be freed. This is the same guy who was serving 7 life sentences for torturing and murdering 2 college students in 1993. While he was kept in jail, 4 men who had raped and murdered 2 sisters in another high-profile case were sent home. 2 of them have since turned themselves back in.
Last week, 30 or so moral enforcers raided a resort on a picturesque Malaysian island on a tip that 3 people were sharing a bed. Oh no. That was a huge bummer for the 20-year-old man they arrested, who said it was all a misunderstanding, that he was only sharing the bed with the 2 women to escape a big scary lizard in his room. Sharia law is enforced by this literal morality police throughout Malaysia. It bans unmarried men and women from being anywhere together that people might suspect them of getting it on. Talk about trust issues, right?
As predicted, the Hong Kong government's cave on a key protester demand did not quite settle everything down. Despite killing the controversial bill that kicked things off 3 months ago, the city saw a number of events underscoring the anger and distrust that persists. Above all this week were whispers that police had beaten 3 protesters to death late last month at a subway station and then covered it up. Though no evidence has been presented, the rumors keep coursing through social media, prompting a joint news conference by the police force, hospital authority, and other agencies to categorically deny any such deaths occurred. The raw rage was laid bare best Thursday morning by a huge banner covering Devil's Peak over Kowloon Bay that read, "Dirty cops are rioters," Among other craziness in the Chinese territory, an executive council member accused protesters of using girls as comfort women, a historically sensitive accusation of rape, and one brazen bloke showed his disgust with it all by strutting around with his flaccid penis on display. In a more serious incident, a 65-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of slashing high school students with razor wire at a Monday class boycott. Keep it cool, Hong Kongers. We're all hoping no one else gets hurt.
In a country where most buildings, public transportations, and sidewalks are inaccessible to the roughly 1.4 million citizens living with disabilities, there is a long way for Thailand to go to be accessible to all. To better understand the current state of the kingdom's disability rights and to discuss how much further we still have to go, I met with three of Thailand's leading disability rights activists on a recent Tuesday. To my left, it's 22-year-old Sai, who lost her sight at 13 due to a brain tumor.
My name is Kirin Desha Wong Tham, but I go by Sai, and I've just graduated with a degree in psychology from Hendricks College.
In 2017, she received Luther, which is a shiny black Labrador that became her guide dog and companion while attending university in America. In the States, where service dogs are widely accepted, Sai and Luther went everywhere together. But this all changed several months ago when the pair returned to Bangkok. Now, Sai says things have become much harder in a city that prohibits dog in most places. To my left is Manit, who's been in a wheelchair since birth.
My name is Saba Manit Inpim. I am 52 years old. I am the activist, and I am the owner of the Accessibility is Freedom organization.
Over the last 5 years, he's worked tirelessly to improve Bangkok's infrastructure to support the disabled community. He made headlines some years ago when he won a historic case against the BTS SkyTrain, in which the Supreme Court ordered for installation of working elevators on every BTS station. Thais may recognize her from the news in recent months, for she's one of the founding members of the Progressive Future Forward political party. But apart from that, the 26-year-old is a human rights activist, journalist, and founder of Disabled.me, a news website that focuses on topics related to disability. New started using a wheelchair around 8 years old. The four of us sat in a little room in one of the activists' house in Suan Lung District. Thailand's only guide dog, Luther, laid on the floor next to his owner, and at one point, he fell asleep on her foot. Can you talk about the way in which your lives are different from someone who doesn't face the same daily challenges?
I think the main thing right now, especially being in Thailand, is whenever I'm going outside, we really have to plan ahead. First, just kind of where we're going and if we'll be able to take Luther. Say I'm going to Central World or something. Even if I can get into Central World, I have to think how to get there and say if I'm going to take the SkyTrain. Okay, maybe I can take the SkyTrain, but then I have to take the taxi to the SkyTrain. Then I can't take Luther into the taxi. A lot of them usually deny service. They just don't want a dog, and it doesn't matter that it's a service dog. So it's kind of depends on the luck, on our luck than anything. Even though we have the law that allow service dogs to be on public transportation and in all public places. And so it's like I have to plan every step, you know, like is it worth it to take Luther with me? Is it not? Sometimes we have to make calls.
Actually, my situation is a lot like Sai's. Because of my wheelchair, I have to make travel plans in advance. Whenever I have to leave my house, because I don't know if the place I'm going can accommodate me. For example, if I'm planning to use the BTS, I have to call and check whether it has a wheelchair exit on the right side of the road. If it doesn't, I have to rethink about what I should do next. So many times, I end up hailing a taxi, which comes with much greater expenses.
The people with disability life is never easy. To me, I am a strong wheelchair man. But yes, we still have to plan ahead also. And the trouble is the city and also the people also. the culture of the people, how welcome they are. For example, when we want to get into the train, people, they just walk in. They never notice I am here.
What do you think are some of the most important things Thailand could immediately do to improve the quality of life for the disabled community?
For me, the three are transportation, environment, and people's attitude. When I say environment, I mean both inside and outside of each building. Because many times, even if I can reach a place, I cannot go in because there are no facilities that enable me to do so.
And I actually started noticing this personally myself, like even at the coconuts office, we have this one ramp outside our building and it's like so steep, it's almost like 90 degrees.
I would say 100 of building in Thailand is not accessible. Let's say my office, even toilet, even the restroom, we can't go in easy. We have the law already defined more than 15 years already.
Yeah.
But the enforcement is not happening. That's why we see every problem in the city. There is no slope. We have only one elevator per one station. How come can be just like that? You know what I mean, right? We are talking about independent living. That means the better city. That means we got really freely life to go by ourselves. This is the key. We have to go by ourselves. We don't need someone to take care of us.
Certainly law, like enforcing existing law, like if we can just do that, because we do have laws, like as Khun Sabah said, we do have laws about accessibility, about equal access. You know, for example, with blind people, we do have laws that say that blind people should have equal access to education, for example. But it is still quite common for universities or schools to deny admission to blind students, even if they pass the exam, you know, just by saying, oh, we can't support you, we don't have the equipment or whatever. In my case, for example, you know, I have my guide dog, and there is a law that said that guide dogs can go into all public places, public buildings, public transportation, everywhere. But right now, the problem is it's not being enforced. And so, you know, it's almost like I just had to talk to each places individually. And it depends on their discretion, even though it is the law, you know. So like, if you can just do this one thing, like, that would already, like, solve a lot of problem, I guess, immediate, you know, issue. And another thing that I think of is seeing our rights of disabled people as human rights. For example, with taxi, it's like, okay, we'll help you, you can get into the car. But as soon as our rights kind of clash with someone else's convenience or someone else's rights, the driver might have to clean his car afterward or something, whatever, all of a sudden, it's like, okay, a lot of people would say, in that case, I don't think that the dog should be allowed. That's it. Like, you know, like as soon as there's like conflict, the rights of the disabled people become kind of, yeah, secondary. I don't think that my right is more important than yours, but I also don't think that your right is more important than mine.
Okay. What are some of the most common misconceptions you encounter?
One thing that I get a lot is, you know, people calling me like inspiration or like complimenting me, like, oh my gosh, you know, Nong Sai geng zheng le, something like that, right? Which sometimes I feel like they only say that because I'm disabled and that I'm living a normal life, and I guess that's not what they expect. I really want people to change the way they think about that, because I don't want them to have an expectation that is so low that just seeing me in public is worth complimenting. You know what I mean? Like, and sometimes I feel like that's the case. Like, I remember going to the doctor, and then before leaving, the doctor is just like, oh, non geng zheng le, and I was like, what am I good at? Like, what for coming to the doctor or for walking or for getting up myself? Like, you know, like that's something like if I do something that's like worth complimenting, that if I'm not disabled and you would still compliment me, such as being good at sport or something, sure, compliment me. But like, if you're just complimenting me because I'm doing it as a disabled person, then you should think about like why you think that.
Actually, to me, I understand the culture. We know that. I know that you and everyone around us, when they see the people with disability, they feel would like to help, caring, something like that. I feel really thankful. I try to promote the equality. I try to promote the same thing. We can do it, the same thing. But we need some special, just like the slope, just like that, to make our life equal as we can do. But if it is too much special, we feel that not this is not right. Just Nong Sai said, this is not good. Do I have something special? You know what I mean, right? We just want to be normal people living in the society, living together, be a friends, be your boyfriends, be your husband, be your family, just like that. Yes.
สำหรับหนูนะคะหนูก็เรารู้สึกว่าพอเรามีความพิการปุ๊บเรานั่งวีลแชร์ปุ๊บ
For me, I feel like people have really low expectation of disabled individual. I remember back when I was studying in high school and even university, strangers would randomly stop me to ask questions like, "Do you get to go to school?" I was so confused by the question. Why would you ask me something like that? When I would reply that I already graduated, they would often follow up with questions like, "But you are sitting on a wheelchair. How can you even study?"
Hey, นั่งวีลแชร์ทำไมเรียนได้ด้วยอ่ะ อะไรแบบเนี้ย
To that, I usually tell them that the only barrier to my education is people's mentality.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you're disabled in one way, but people kind of generalize to everything else, I guess. Like, kind of similar to Pinu, but like for me as a blind person, one thing that sometimes I get is like people asking if I need a wheelchair. And I'm like, I'm blind, you know, like I get that a lot, even when like flying between countries, you know, when I get off the plane, there'll be someone with a wheelchair waiting for me. And I'm like, I can walk. And so it's just like, yeah, just low expectation just across the board.
Because I started using a wheelchair since I was about 8. And when most people imagine wheelchair users, they automatically picture seniors who cannot walk anymore using them. So when they see a kid in a wheelchair, some strangers would walk toward me and ask, "What's wrong with you? Why do you need a wheelchair?" To me, these questions are really personal, and you should get to know me well first before you ask something like that. Now that I am a little older, strangers will randomly walk over to me and say things like, "You're pretty. What a shame you're in a wheelchair."
หน้าตาก็โอเคนี่ไม่น่านั่งวีลแชร์เลยอะไรแบบเนี้ยคือเราเจอเยอะมากๆใน
I get that very very often. Another case that shocked me was when I was doing physical therapy at a hospital. A stranger walked over to me and offered me holy water, telling me to rub it on my legs and I would be able to walk. I was like, "What the hell?" Or another time, I was sitting in a public park. A bunch of people stopped and surrounded me and started praying for me, saying things like, "If you believe hard enough, you'll be cured."
Oh, แบบถ้าน้องเชื่อมั่นน้องจะหายอะไรแบบนี
้ Yes. No, this is very common for people with disabilities. Like, I experienced everything that she said, you know, people coming up to pray for me. Yeah, or like violating personal space that you wouldn't if I'm not disabled, such as grabbing me without asking me some very personal questions that you wouldn't ask some strangers, you know.
Okay, so my next question is, how can individuals work to support members of the disabled community?
Personally, what I am thinking we are doing now, it is the advocate the way to do, to let the people understand. We are talking now, it is because of we got really low responsibility on the equality and rights in Bangkok, in Thailand for now. Actually, the policy level have to work it on to do something. The government, the policy level, they have to enforce it. You have to let people know. You have to promote it. To me, it is the really easy job to do it, but no one do it. So there is no choice. I have to do it by myself 5 years already.
And I feel like one problem or obstacle, especially with Thailand, that is different from, say, the United States, is that we are a collectivistic culture, whereas the United States and other Western countries are individualistic culture. So they really, like, prioritize, like, individual rights and equality, whereas here, if I or people with disabilities push too hard to, like, hey, you have to make this accessible for us, other people or the society might be like, you are selfish and you are thinking only about yourself, you know? Like, they'll be like, hey, you're, like, making us inconvenience. You should be grateful for whatever you have. You know, so something along that line, whereas that wouldn't fly well at all in the United States because individual right is just very important. So that's certainly something that I struggle with, is that, like, where kind of balancing between fighting for my rights and not coming out as, like, self-centered or...
How much change have you seen since you started your work?
ในภาพใหญ่คิดว่าไม่ได้เปลี่ยนไปมากเลย
In the overall picture, I don't think much has changed. In my case, I work in the media, so I see people in my circle or who read my work changing. But in the bigger scale, I don't think my platform alone or my readers alone are enough to change an entire society. To truly see change, I think powerful people like the government, who has the power to make policies, must get involved. They cannot wait around for disabled people to advocate this. Everyone has to live their lives. Not every disabled person wants to be an activist. So I think it's the government's duty to take care of everyone and ensure quality, safe, convenient, and independent life for all their people. I think that current laws cannot offer such things to us. Like, for example, the policy to give the disabled 800 baht a month. And just leaving them hoping to make the 800 baht work. Just giving things out for free does not help them develop life skills or promote independent living at all. I think the government needs to do more research on this. And they have to do it seriously and sincerely.
Yeah, about giving 800 baht per month. I feel really strong on this issue. To help people to be sustainable, to help them to develop themselves, I'm talking to all people in the country. Giving the money, I feel for this is not good. I will show you the very good picture that I always say. The monkey in the mountain, Khao Samuk. People give the banana to the monkey every time. They just visit to the mountain. Finally, the monkey, they change by their culture. They never go in the forest, and they just come and sit down on the side of the road waiting for the banana on every day, and they just forget everything. To help people, you have to give them learning also. Just like you give me the train free of ride, but you give me only one elevator per one station. Do you think it is possible? It is crazy, actually. Please install elevator on every single exit. I can pay. You know what I mean, right? I want to pay by myself. To pay by myself, I feel very good that we are equal. I pay. You pay also. I got nothing special, but please do the perfect accessible for me. Just like that. I mean, takes long time to change people's mind. Yeah. In overall, I call this is the culture. It becomes better day by day, but you have to remember one thing. The time is running. I'm getting older. She is getting older. We are getting older. But people just say, hey, wait. You have to wait for me. You know what I mean, right? We need time to fix the problem. But our time is running. let's say just like Nong Sai, she's growing up. How can she gonna be living by herself? I still don't see a good sign. I would say like that. After five years of working, I still feel that not all right to me. But it is our job to yell up, to speak every day. Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree with pretty much everything that both of you say. Like, I think that Thai people are, you know, very kind and very compassionate. So that's a good base. But I certainly think that there's that issue of that cultural belief or value that, or of you know, it doesn't promote independence. And so we have to change from the bottom, which is from the culture or from the attitudes and perceptions. And changing culture is very, very hard, you know. So that's what I try to change with my page too. And in terms of awareness about guide dogs, it's changing very quickly. Like, you know, all of a sudden, a lot of Thai people now know what a guide dog is and what they do and all the stuff. But sometimes with their attitudes or their beliefs about people with disabilities, sometimes that still need a lot more change. Like, sometimes some people would comment that, oh, that's good that Luther is taking care of you, you know, like, kind of still with that mentality that disabled people need others to care for them, not as a equal partnership. So
how do you think the government can do better?
I mean, we need the active government, because they have a lot of money, they have power, they have everything. I have been talking to the government more than 5 years already. I told the Minister of Transportation, I told him many times that you have to have the special division to take care of the accessible. Yeah. When you growing up the transportation system in one route, you have to have one dedicated team to take care and work it. Because for now, on every single department, it is not their job. You know what I mean, right? Yeah. They got their assignment. They got their job already, and the accessible issue is not their major job, their main job. So there is nothing, no one working on actually. I told them more than 5 years already to do this and. Comparing to the United States, they already have, they have the division working directly. If you want to do to build the building, yeah, you have to pass on the law and regulation many.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think we just need change at the structural level.
ถ้าสำหรับหนูเขาต้องรู้ก่อนว่าตัวเองเขาผิดพลาดตรงไหน
I think the government should acknowledge what they do wrong.Most of the time, they only support us on a case-by-case basis. For example, I call the government about a hole in front of my house. They come and fix it. My road is smooth, but no other road in Bangkok is smooth. Then the government turns around and say, now you look at us. Aren't we so kind and generous? Aren't we such a good government? But I think these are basic things that should already exist.I don't think addressing our problems deserve praise. It's their job after all.
คือมันเป็นเรื่องปกติด้วยซ้ำที่คุณต้องทำอยู่แล้ว
คือมันคุยกัน3วัน8วันไม่จบ
Thank you so much for taking the time and being here with us today. คุณซายคุณหนูและคุณมินิตคุณนภพร was more comfortable recording in Thai, so we had a translator voice over her responses, but we'll also include a link to her full interview in Thai in our description.
All right, folks. Well, that's all we've got this week. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thanks for tuning in.
We'll be back next week with more fun stuff. Keep tuned. We'll announce something soon.
Special thanks this week to Coconut's editor, Shayanit Itipong Meti, for the voiceover for Kunnu, as well as our audio engineer, Inyugo Manthagon, and lovely host at Rockademy Studios, Bangkok.
From Bangkok, this is Todd Rees.
I'm Tara Kamoltanavith. The Coconuts podcast is written and produced by Todd Rees and Tara Kamoltanavith. Our executive producers are Byron Perry and Chad Williams.
You can find all these stories and more at coconuts.co. Better yet, become a Coco Plus member at coconuts.co/member.
Yep.
/membership. All right, folks, thanks again.
Thanks for tuning in.